Good morning.
Good morning to you. Glad you are here, Director of the Hauenstein Center for Presidential Studies. I hope you got some sleep last night.
It was a wild night, Shelley. This trend is continuing where there's a shaking of the foundations in American politics today, and the elites of both parties, but especially the Republican elite, have lost control of their base. And there's evidence that the Democratic elite has lost control of their base. I mean, all the conventional wisdom going into this election cycle has been thrown out of the window. I mean, look at the strong showing of Trump in this state and the surprise showing of Donald Trump. I mean, this is amazing. We had, 2.5 million votes cast, broke all records. We had precincts that ran out of ballots. And then over at the New York Times, you know, Nate Silver, the guy's famous at 538, he said that last night was one of the greatest upsets in modern political history.
Liz Whitney, again, Director of the Hauenstein Center for Presidential Studies, a follow-up to our conversation yesterday. At this point, the people have voted, the polls maybe weren't right on track.
No, the polls were so off. I mean, Mrs. Clinton had something like a 22-point aggregated lead, if you look at the real clear average of Michigan polling. And people came out and defied the polls. And I think what's happening, a lot of these exit polls, a lot of people don't want to admit, for example, that they're voting for Donald Trump, but that's who they did fill in the black hole for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've got really, I mean, Michigan is a significant state for all of this because we are a state here right in the center. We're sort of the gateway to the Midwest and the upper Great Lakes states. We're a big, diverse state. There are over 100 ethnic groups in this state. So this is a microcosm of America. And there, some of the micro polling that came out of this is fascinating. So, for example, Sanders is getting twice the support among African Americans in Michigan than he was getting in the South. Mm-hmm. So Northern African Americans cotton to his message, and it all comes down to, you know, protectionism. Where, you know, free trade has gutted our communities because jobs have moved offshore, and we're left with that I-75 corridor, which is just community after community after community gutted by the loss of jobs. That message, in the end, resonated.
The what do we say about Rubio and Kasich?
Well, Rubio is the other major headline of this story because his collapse, his implosion as a viable candidate could not have come at a worse time. You know, if you wrestle with a pig, you're going to come out of that wrestling match looking like a pig. And when he decided to get in the gutter and in the mud with Donald Trump, it was one of the worst things he did because he had been conducting himself with a good bearing. He had gently criticized Jeb Bush, for example. Everybody remembers some of the debate scenes where Jeb and Marco mixed it up. But Rubio always came through those dignified. And then he starts attacking Trump and looking very unpresidential. Shelley, I've said it once on your show. I'll say it again on your show. These people are auditioning for the presidency of the United States of America. And they better act like it. Words matter. Demeanor matters. I mean, American people are watching. Now, Trump is a special case. We've all seen this reality TV star come in there. But Rubio was not in a position, really, to go head-to-head with him. And now Rubio's got a key question to ask. Next Tuesday is the next Super Tuesday. And now we're turning to the winner-take-all delegate states. So Rubio's in a situation where he trails Trump in his own home state of Florida. Does he get out this week so that he's not humiliated and so it doesn't hurt his future political career, or does he hang in there to try to be the loyal opposition and take the bullet?
Yes. Well, same thing with Kasich on his Ohio voting next week, although he's predicting a win, but where are we going with that?
Well, Kasich last night in Michigan had a very strong showing. He was in second place for most of the evening as we were watching the returns come in, and Ted Cruz was only able to take him at the very end and kind of bump him into a very soft third position. Kasich probably can go into Ohio with a good strong showing, feeling confident that he might be able to pick off Trump because the gap between Kasich and Trump in Ohio is much smaller. Trump does hold a small lead there, but Kasich has a great ground game in his home state, and he might be able to stop Trump's momentum somewhat. As I say, though, I don't think Rubio can do that in Florida. Mm-hmm. What this means, Shelley, as we move forward, is that again and again, we're going to be seeing these contests on Tuesdays and Saturdays where winner-take-all states are voting, and the frontrunners are going to start really acquiring a lot of momentum. It's possible that Cruz could get in one-on-one contests with Trump after next Tuesday, in which case, Cruz might be the only guy who can really slow down Trump. But that remains to be seen. There are a lot of problems with Cruz's campaign that will have to be addressed for him to be successful. If I might, there's one thing that I want to point out that came out of some of the reporting this morning, and it's anecdotal at this point, but I think it's important. The Clinton campaign took Michigan for granted. Here they were sitting on a 21.5-point lead, basically, and she did not come to the state as often as she should have. The campaign did not air enough commercials or go door-to-door enough. And what ended up happening is that Clinton supporters taking their candidate for granted, what they did was they were too clever by half. They went into polling places yesterday, and you know how you have to choose whether you're going to vote Democratic or Republican in our primary system? So what Clinton supporters were doing was taking Republican ballots and voting for Trump. So I think that was a very interesting development because, of course, they'd love to see a matchup between Mrs. Clinton and Donald Trump. So that little tactic, while very cute, backfired.
Gleaves, again, what do you bring to your, we mentioned this yesterday, to your fellows, to our future leaders with these lessons that are being taught today?
Well, we're looking at the laboratory of democracy, continue to experiment with all kinds of interesting things, and we are so fortunate at Grand Valley State University here at the Hauenstein Center for Presidential Studies to have 60 great fellows in our Cook Leadership Academy. And these 60 students, they're both undergraduates and graduate students, are keeping abreast of all the developments this incredible election year, and they're learning a lot of what it means to try to become president of the greatest superpower the world has ever seen. I mean, we are the center of the laboratory. And Michigan is a most fortunate state for our students to be in because we learn so much. It's such a big and a diverse, it's the small, big state. And it gives us an opportunity really to see the undercurrents and what's happening. We live them. We know those Reagan Democrats who've lost their jobs and are resentful and have maybe gone back to Donald Trump now or over to Bernie Sanders. We see the hurt in people's faces. We have a great opportunity here to study, and these students also are very service-oriented. You know, they want to help folks out in Flint. They want to do things that are good in Detroit public schools. So, you know, we're looking forward to participating meaningfully in this election process and beyond.
This is a unique year for learning.
It is.
Gleaves, how do we find out more about the center?
Go to www.hauensteincenter.org and see about our upcoming programs. We have Alan Charles Kors coming in. We have a lot of great speakers. We just had H.W. Brands. We had Evan Thomas before that in partnership with the Ford Foundation and Library and Museum. We have great programs for the students, but also for the community. And also, if you know a student who would be a good candidate for our Leadership Academy, go to hauensteincenter.org. There is a form where you can nominate that student.
Make that happen. Thank you, Gleaves, for your information on this topic. We'll speak again. Take care.
Thank you, Shelley.